was it? I want to follow up on Iran one more time. You saying today that you do not know if senior members of the Iranian government are in fact behind these explosives, that contradicts what U.S. officials said in Baghdad on Sunday. They said the highest levels of the Iranian government were behind this. It also, it seems to square with what General Pace has been saying, but contradicts with what your own
I can't say it more plainly. There are weapons in Iraq that are harming U.S. troops because of the Quds Force. And as you know, I hope, that the Quds Force is a part of the Iranian government. Whether Ahmadinejad ordered the Quds Force to do this, I don't think we know. But we do know that they're there, and I intend to do something about it. And I've asked our commander to do something about it, and we're going to protect our troops.
That was Papa George with his brand new bag. Now it's all Iran, 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 Iran. Welcome, truth seekers, to the Mike Malloy Show. My name is Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Uncle Michael for a couple more days here today and tomorrow on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike will be back from vacation next week. And today we were treated to a successful attempt by President Pinocchio to distract us from the House debate on the Iraq war. The Iraq occupation. But, you know, this was a very important debate, and a very encouraging debate to a certain extent, because a very important press conference, because today's Bush press conference proves that Bush is, in fact, smarter than I thought, and that I am almost as dumb as he thought. Let me explain. Now, of course, everybody who was paying any attention at all knows that from beginning to end, the whole lead up to the Iraq War was absolute and complete and total nonsense. That everybody who went there, all the inspectors, everybody who actually went to Iraq and looked said, this is nonsense. And these guys just lied in their teeth, lied in it. We all know this. No debate. It's been proven. Take it to the bank. So, if you're like me, and I know I am, I just knew that eventually they would get the U.S. troops to Iraq, and then they would plant some evidence. They would plant it, at very least, out of respect to the people who believed in them, so that they would have something to hold on. They would say, here, you see, and to a certain extent, they in fact did that. There was this whole nonsense with the 500 chemical biological shells they claim they found, which was... It wasn't a plant, but it was a very nice little ruse, because I guess what had originally happened was, if you look at the UNSCOM report, the Umnivik report, I should say, that Saddam Hussein had produced 13,000 chemical and biological shells. We know that because we sold him the stuff. We sold him the materials to make it. He had produced 13,000, of which the inspectors were able to account 455 of them. And there were 555 shells that were unaccounted for. And so the Bush guys just kind of looked and said, well, we got to find something here. Oh, there's 500 shells unaccounted for. Hey, we found them. Of course, no one except them ever saw them. But anyway, they were at least respectful enough to fake some evidence. It wasn't a total plant, but they faked it. They didn't really fake it because they didn't know if they ever showed it to anybody. But they did say they had them, and that was fine. But they should have just planted some. But so now we have Sunday's super secret press conference by unnamed Pentagon guys who were in there, and they say, we have the evidence. Yeah, sure. And the press is kind of going and was moderately skeptical of it. And we have pictures, and we all saw it. I know you saw, and I know I saw the wonderful pictures of the little. We saw the Humvee with the hole that was put in it by the supposedly enhanced explosive device. I love how they come up with these new terms. Every little they have a new term. It's the surge. It's the enhanced explosive device. They have little. Their use of the language is so good. I mean, they are. I truly, truly, as a linguophile myself, I give them enough respect. My boy, and I assume this is Karl Rove, although Bush is a very bright boy himself. I'm not one of those people who I think Bush benefits by our underestimating of him. But anyway, so they have this press conference, and they had their little PowerPoint presentation, and we all saw the pictures of the supposed Iranian weapons and the consequences of the Iranian weapons on the Humvees and smashing through and all this enhanced explosive charges. So today, I'm listening to Barbara Starr on CNN, and she says, well, of course, the administration has very good, and I've heard various members of the mainstream media say this, that they have very good intelligence, but they're trying to ratchet down the confrontation with Iraq, so they don't want to put out all the really wonderful, solid intelligence that they have. Fine. So then I'm watching Charlie Rose, and I see the Iranian ambassador. And he says that this stuff is just fake. And he points out, he says, that if you look at some of these weapons, the dates on these weapons are in the dates, the month comes first, then the year. And he points out that most of us who've looked at, have done any traveling or really paid much attention to international correspondence, in virtually every place on Earth, when listing a date, the year comes, then the month, then the day. But in these supposed Iranian weapons, it was the month than the year. And so I'm going online trying to find this, and I found it. What did we find? We found one of the pictures that they had in this little PowerPoint presentation showing how the Iranians had the weapons that were doing such damage to our troops is a picture of an 81-millimeter mortar shell. Now, I know that that was an 81-millimeter mortar shell. How do I know that that was an 81-millimeter mortar shell? Because on the Iranian-made 81-millimeter mortar shell, it says so in English. Now, let me just say this again. We are to believe, and I tell it to you, because this is now Wednesday. This is Wednesday, yeah. The press conference was on Sunday, and now it took until today. And I'll tell you, if it hadn't been for watching the Iranian ambassador, I would not have gone and carefully looked at this stuff. That it says we are supposed to believe that the Iranians are making mortar shells and putting the markings on them and denoting them in English. Now, you know, and on the one hand, my first thought was, is there anybody at CNN who's supposed to be fact-checking this stuff? The only thing that Ronald Reagan knew how to say in Russian was "Doveryai no proveryai," which you Ronald Reagan fans out there know means trust but verify. "Doveryai no proveryai." And if there was ever anybody in the world who you really needed to verify, even if you did, if you were drinking heavily enough that you trusted him, if you were drinking heavily enough that you trusted these guys, you certainly would want to be verifying. And I don't know about you, but I have not heard anybody, not anybody in anybody's media point out the fact that, and you can look this up yourself, point out the fact that this 81-millimeter mortar shell, supposedly from Iran, is marked in English. But having said that, I got a couple minutes. Okay. Having said that, let me be an apologist for a moment for the American press. And I suppose, for some of the American press, because this picture that you can find on the internet, but it's not easy to find it. I went out and I Googled evidence, Iran, Iraq. I think that's what I did. If you Google, there's various combinations of evidence around Iraq, you will not find this picture. And I did a couple of Google searches, didn't find it. Finally, I thought, let me try the blogs. I did a Google blog search, and that's where I found this particular picture, which is actually a Reuters picture, but it didn't come up in a regular Google search. Now, I'm not going to say that there's any kind of manipulation of Google searches by large and powerful multinational corporations who want to keep us ignorant. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because, Lord knows, that's just too obvious. But it is hard, and I understand that it is hard for some of our brothers and sisters in the media, because I absolutely know I have friends in the media who are good and decent people who despise Bush, who despise all that they do, who know that they cannot be trusted. But it is just not always so easy to find these things. And most of us have other stuff to do with our lives. I mean, people like me, radio talk show hosts, okay, that's our job, to sit around and go through all of this and look at all of this stuff and look at the pictures. All right, so I want to talk a little bit more about that, but we'll take a little break here. We'll be back in a second. My name is Aaron Freeman. I am sitting in for Mike Malloy on The Mike Malloy Show. We're going to be taking your calls, of course, about Bush's press conference, about Iran. I want to talk talk some more about Iran, because there's a whole mess of disinformation and misinformation we're getting. It's Nova M Radio. You're listening to Aaron Freeman on The Mike Malloy Show. You truth seekers, come on back. Neil Young, you know, I sing that song to my children. It helps them to sleep, you know. Let's just impeach the president. And just the idea of impeaching Bush is such a comforting thought. But it makes me ready to just curl up into a fetal ball and relax. If only it were going to happen. All right. My name's Aaron Freeman. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio. The number here is 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. By the way, you know, speaking of impeaching the president, I do want to, but I got some more to talk about Iraq. But I do want to say, this is my absolute, all right, I'm not, I like Barack Obama. He's my homie, and he's a Chicagoan and an Illinoisan. But the absolute worst thing, and I could care less about what he said about wasting lives in Iraq, because that happens to be true. But Barack Obama is a George Bush apologist. Barack Obama said in an interview with the Chicago Tribune that George Bush should not be impeached. Let me try to do him justice. All right, he said Bush should not be impeached because when I consider how many Democratic presidents have been somewhat less than forthcoming regarding intelligence. That's what he said. Democrats have been somewhat less than saying that George Bush has been somewhat less than forthcoming about intelligence is like saying that Dumbo is somewhat overweight. I'm just kidding. All right, so but look, they got to impeach him, but that's a whole other issue. But I want to talk about Iran, because Iran is a really, it's so classic. The disinformation, the pack of outrageous lies is really tremendous. However, the thing about Iran, a lot of what's going on, it's like this this business with the shell. It's really obviously, if you look at the shell closely, it's obviously not true, the mortar shell that's got written in American, in English. It's obviously not true. But there are some things about Iran that are harder. And like the shell is hard to find. You can't just Google it. But there are many things about Iran that are hard, the lies that are hard to discern. For example, I bet you that you, dear listener, many of you, and you speak particularly, probably think that the president of Iran said that Israel should be wiped from the map, which, of course, he did not say. Obviously, he did not say. And this actually had a bearing on what he did say, does have a bearing on what Bush talked about today. What the president of Iran actually said was, he was quoting the Ayatollah Khomeini, and what he actually said was, Im regimi ishkalgar ikutz bayad az shaveye rushkar mav shavad. Now, the important thing about that is that what it literally says, this regime that is occupying Jerusalem should be, is occupying Jerusalem from the pages of history or time, should be erased. And the important, and how this relates to Bush, is about Im regimi ishkalgar ikutz, and the Quds. The Quds Brigade is a part of the division of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and their concern is solely an entire, well, their concern, their name, reflects their interest in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, of course, is the third holiest site in Islam. And so the point about Ahmadinejad, this gets spun as if he's talking about Israel. And one of the really ridiculous things about it, of course, is to say that Israel should be wiped from the map. No Iranian would say that, because in Iran, Israel's not on the map. It's one of the big complaints that Israel has is that it's not on the map. It's not on the map. It's not there. And, you know, now, of course, people who say, I have friends who would say that, well, it's an idiom, because it's erased from the pages of time is an idiom. It's, and everybody knows, you can't really translate literally idioms. It's like a... you know, you're pulling my leg or you're drinking the hairs in Spanish. It's not really, you can't literally translate these things, that you have to kind of give a sense of it. And they would argue that erasing the pages of time is a fair translation of that is wiped from the map. But it's really not, because erasing the pages of time is about, for example, what happened to Saddam Hussein's regime. It was erased from the pages of time. What the Iranians would say, that what happened to, you know, other regimes in history have been erased from the pages of time. But wiped from the map sounds like genocide, and that's what they're trying to make us think, and they're attempting to do that. And so there's a whole big bunch of things, a whole big bunch of lies that are told about Iran, but that are difficult, because, frankly, how many people are going to parse the Farsi? Okay, I mean, it is a very difficult thing to do, parsing the Farsi, and you got to spend a lot of time on it. And I understand that a lot of people do not have the time to do that and don't have the interest to do that. So, but there is actually, and you could get really discouraged about it, and I could get really discouraged about it, because I know that there are people who are good reporters who just don't take the time, and who end up reporting nonsense to us because they have not had the time or the interest to really ferret out all the specifics of the Bush lies. Okay, we're going to come back, and I do want to take your calls at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. It's the Mike Malloy Show, Truth Seekers. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Uncle Michael here on Nova M Radio. They're messing around with our information. They're messing around with our heads. It's Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy, Truth Seekers, on Nova M Radio. You can, let me remind you that you can become a, join the Nova M Founders Club. It's a brand new network, and you can become a part of it, the Founders Club. There are all manner of fine emoluments that you will get by joining the Founders Club at www.novamradio.com. And again, if you'd like to be a part of the conversation this evening, Truth Seekers here on the Mike Malloy program, 800-989-1480. So I was saying that I obviously... It's very frustrating for me. It was frustrating for me today to realize what an obvious ruse this nonsense with this mortar shell written in English, what an obvious ruse it was, yet had I not just coincidentally, just for capriciously, through happenstance, watched the Iranian ambassador, I would certainly not have looked this closely at it and seen what an obvious con it was. Similarly, with this business with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who never said that Israel should be wiped from the map and didn't even mention Israel or the Zionist entity or the Zionist state or any of that stuff, didn't say the people occupying Palestine, didn't say any of that stuff. It was months after all the flap and after many conversations I had, it was months before I actually looked at it closely and saw, oh, wait, he's talking about the regime that's occupying Jerusalem. And he wasn't talking about that. I often forget that myself. He was quoting the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. And it can be very discouraging how difficult it is, even for people who positively, unequivocally know these guys are lying. You know it. And I wouldn't trust them to say good morning. If they said good morning, I would check my watch to make sure what time it really was. And you can get very discouraged about it. But there is one thing that gives me hope. And it truly does, and it gives me a lot of hope. One, is the fact that, and it's the reason for these that give me hope. One phenomenon is that we cut a deal with North Korea. You had one-on-one negotiations with North Korea last month. Christopher Hill was negotiating with North Korea one-on-one in Germany. Also, Israel is negotiating right now, even as we speak, with Hezbollah. Israel is also negotiating with Hamas. And what gives me hope is that the reason all these things are happening is that the people they want to demonize are just too tough to do it. And I absolutely, and I understand human nature enough that if you have unlimited power, if you are bad enough that you can just kick booty and kick booty anybody you don't like, why wouldn't you? Be honest here. Why wouldn't you? I certainly have enough of a human being that I know what it feels like to desire to slap around the people who won't do what you say. I know that. And if you could get away with it and not just smack them around, I mean, you got a whole army to take out anybody you don't like. I absolutely understand. But now, as we are clearly learning in Iraq, as Israel clearly learned in August in the Second Lebanon War, and as certainly as the U.S. learned when North Korea set off its nuclear bomb, the people that you want to demonize are just too tough, too smart, and then and only then we decide, let's talk. It's pretty sad that they're ashamed of it. We were just in Israel not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and most Israelis are not aware of the fact that Israel is in fact negotiating with Hezbollah and is negotiating with Hamas. And I would say that there's a good chunk of Americans who don't know that we had one-on-one negotiations with North Korea. And that is really, that is a thing to be proud of. It is a thing to be glad for, that even the wacky, insane, bellicose bushwhackers were sensible enough to recognize, ultimately, when somebody was too tough to fight and you just had to sit down and talk. The number is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Let's talk to Mike in Atlanta. Mike in Atlanta, you are on the Mike Malloy Show with Aaron Freeman.
All right, thank you, Aaron, for taking my call.
You're more than welcome.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. Didn't we fund the rebels that were fighting the Afghan rebels that were fighting the Soviets in the 80s.
The Mujahideen. Ronald Reagan was extremely proud of it, as was Bill Casey, the director of the CIA. They thought that that was a crowning achievement. They thought themselves extremely clever.
Exactly. I mean, with the weaponry that we gave to them, I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of Russian soldiers didn't make it home.
And there's no question about it.
Russian pilots, absolutely,
because we got for them and trained the Mujahideen in Afghanistan in how to use shoulder-fired rockets against helicopters.
Exactly. I mean, that's the nature of war. I mean, that's part of the pie that they started cooking. And
but actually, and but Mike, you know,
we got to take a bite.
Actually, Mike, it's even worse than that, because we, and again, this is just a matter of public record, and they bragged about it, we brought together Islamic fighters from around the world, with the help of Saudi Arabia and others. We brought together Islamic fighters from around the world and brought them to Afghanistan and introduced them to each other and created those networks. And, of course, as the world knows, that network became Al-Qaeda. And there's one of the things that really was I found so galling, and I continue to find galling, in this whole canonization of Ronald Reagan as the great exemplar of tough-minded American negotiations and tough-minded American values. Ronald Reagan is most properly his most enduring legacy. The most enduring legacy of his Middle Eastern policy is the creation of Al-Qaeda. Ronald Reagan is the father of Al-Qaeda. He without him, there would have been no Al-Qaeda. You know, Osama bin Laden has never left the Middle East. Osama bin Laden didn't know how to get, you know, Islamists from Mexico and from... I mean, he'd spent most of his life in Saudi Arabia. He went up to Beirut and was just partying, having a great... He was a religious guy, but he had a great time up there in Beirut. And then, finishing college, I should say, was moved by the same kind of, you know, nationalist rhetoric that Ronald Reagan was pushing, Ronald Reagan and the Saudis were pushing to a lot of young Muslim men, And he was moved to go to Afghanistan. And, you know, you got to give Bin Laden credit because he didn't need this. He was a very, very, as we all know, an extremely wealthy guy. He could have gone back to Saudi Arabia and just lived the life. But he chose, under the inspiration of Reagan and others, to go to Afghanistan, live in a cave, and fight a superpower. And it was an incredibly brave, if wacky thing from my point of view, because I certainly wouldn't have done it. But the point is, though, that he joined a movement that Ronald Reagan was part and parcel of, that Ronald Reagan sold to the American people. And Ronald Reagan really, in my view, is the father of Al-Qaeda. But let us continue on here. The number is 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. It's the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy, looking to talk to you truth seekers out there, like in San Francisco, our brother Matt. Young Matt, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me on.
You got it, brother.
Okay. Yeah, my comment is just the large armada that's right now in the Persian Gulf. There's three carriers. I'm sorry, this is my three-year-old back there, and this is why I'm really concerned about what's going on.
I understand.
But, you know, we have three aircraft carriers groups over there right now. That's about 25,000 naval people, personnel. I was in the Navy myself, and I know what it takes to have that kind of a group out there. I was part of it at one point. That's 5,000 per carrier. You have, you know, you just have an enormous amount of people, an enormous amount of logistics and you know, to have that much firepower out there, you can't sustain that for a very long time. And my question is, why isn't corporate media even talking about it? It's something that is really, you know.
But your question.
My
Matt,
question
an,
is, we're ready to pull the trigger and no one even seems to care about it. They don't even talk about it.
But your question, Matt, answers itself.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it is because it is corporate media.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. We
all know that. That's just not, they're not interested in challenging the assumptions, challenging the lies, or even invest. But, you know, I would say it's even worse because many, many, many of the reporters not only are not interested in knowing, in finding out the truth, they have a financial and social disincentive. Because, look, there was a report that was on Iraq Slogger. I don't know if you know Iraq Slogger.
No, I don't.
It's a very good website. But they were talking about the pundits who were opposed to the war from the beginning and compared their job prospects and their job, the progress of the careers, to the ones who supported the war, the ones who were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, people like Tom Friedman, who were wrong, were not wounded. Their careers were not wounded by their incorrect analysis, by their false predictions. But the ones who were right, like Scott Ritter, vanished from the scene.
Yeah, I mean, there, you know, not to digress with Hillary Clinton and all that, but I mean, there was enough intelligence out there and a lot of people screaming that we didn't have enough intel to go into war. But getting back to the
Persian Gulf. Well, let me just say that I would say it's much, much, much worse than that because, again, the reports of the inspectors of Hans Blix were mm-hmm. broadcast on global television in front of the United Nations with mm-hmm. Colin Powell sitting right there. All you had to do was watch.
Let me ask you this real quick. Do you think that we're going to have an air war within the next 30 days?
Well, hang on. Let's talk about that on the other side of the break, okay? Take a break here. This is Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. The number is 800-989-1480. We'd love to talk to you. We want you to be a part of the conversation here on Nova M Radio. Godfather Soul giving his advice to George Bush about this ridiculous war. Give it up. Turn it loose. Get over it, dude. The Godfather, the yet unburied Godfather of Soul. It's Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Nova M Radio Network. We're talking about, well, Iran a little bit, and we're talking about the saber rattling or the carrier group rattling that's happening out there. Matthew is in San Francisco with his 3-year-old who is, even at 3, upset about all this, isn't it? Obviously, I can tell you've raised a very wise child.
Well, again, just getting back to my military limited service in the Air Force and the Navy.
Yeah.
Boy, it's tough talking on the radio. You're so clear. So when you're on the radio, it's just tough. But not to sound too redundant, but those guys out there are risking their lives. You have to refuel these aircraft. You do it at sea. You have an enormous amount of firepower out there in a relatively small area. You know, the Persian Gulf is not the biggest. It's not an open ocean. It is susceptible to Exocet missiles and all sorts of goodies that the Iranians have. And I almost feel like we're putting ourselves, or I should say this president is putting our people in harm's way to actually start something. It's a pretty open target. And, you know, again, it just astounds me for us to have that much firepower out there and not even a mention on the hardballs, the even Keith Olbermann, who has his lovely commentaries, not even a mention of what is going on there. And usually, if you remember in the 80s, whenever this happened, you'd have a reporter sitting on top of one of those aircraft carriers or whatever, one of those Aegis-class missile launching, shipping out the frigates. I mean, it's an enormous amount. It's not just an aircraft carrier. It's all the support carriers that are around it, like an umbrella, defensive umbrella. And you have three of them out there. It's just, and no one's mentioning it. I just feel that we are going into probably an air war and hit all their missile batteries and everything they have lined up on the 900-mile border.
That is certainly the plan. It certainly appears to be their plan. They certainly want to try to do that. They want to be able to threaten that. But I question whether, even as dumb as they are, I wonder if even these guys are so stupid as to do this. Cause certainly their political power is absolutely weakened. Their credibility around the world is, to anyone who's sober, which maybe eliminates
that,
a lot of people.
After the election that he would say he's going to put 21,000 troops in, it's actually 48,000.
It is true. I have been many occasions astonished by the audacity of these guys, and I have been astonished by the complacency of the U.S. media. So maybe I'm sure they want to threaten it. I'd like to believe that they would not try it, but I also, to be honest with you, I take comfort in the fact that I think the Iranians are pretty tough, too. And I think that they got some stuff to show. And I know that the carrier groups are really tough. But, closing the Straits of Hormuz, which Iran can certainly do, would put a gigantic hurting on all of Bush's oil tycoon buddies.
And just one last passing thought, that a couple of weeks ago, and this is still on Iran, the head of the I forget what the name of the head of the government is, the mullah,
supreme,
or whatever.
The supreme leader.
He actually showed some restraint by telling the president, Ahmadinejad, to cool it with the nuclear talk, to shut up. He was actually showing some restraint, like, you're talking too much. And then you heard him, again, reading in the Times a couple of weeks ago, talking about he would hit all of our targets throughout the United States if he were attacked. For him to make that major shift.
Well, that was actually the Khamenei actually said, the supreme ruler, supreme leader, actually said, but he actually said that if the U.S. attacked, they would hit U.S. interests all over the world.
And for him to make that kind of a shift after making that kind of remark to his own people, I just feel like he knows there's something up. And, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Matt. All right. Be well, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
All right. It is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. The number is 800-989-1480. We're going to go right now to San Francisco and talk to Chris. Chris, my brother, you are on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Aaron, good to hear you.
Yo, dog.
Enjoy you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Well, I just, my comment was, Cheney is actually on his way to Australia next week. I grew up in Australia. And I'm here to report that there are just as many rednecks in Australia as there are in America, percentage-wise.
And they drink more.
They drink a lot more. But, John Howard plays to the same audience over there as George does here. He, it's all scare and fear-mongering. In World War II, it was all about the yellow peril, coming down from Asia and taking over Australia. And, everybody in Australia is very grateful that the U.S., bailed them out in WW2. And they've been basically, banging that drum ever since. 60 years on, the world has changed dramatically. And Australia would be, you know, in a deep depression if it wasn't for the incredible economy that, you know, out of Asia. So, you know, on one hand, they want it to be, you know, this cozy little, you know, party over there, but they're all making a bundle of money out of the, you know, the incredible strong economy in Asia. So I don't know what Cheney's got up his sleeve, but you can imagine that he's going to be pandering to his captive audience.
Oh, yeah. His, all those right-wing kangaroos out there are going to be Cheney's going to be looking to do it. And look, Cheney obviously is going to be looking to shore up his personal diplomacy with John Howard to feed him a little dirty secrets about Barack Obama. He'll teach him to say Barack Hussein Obama. I'm sure that's the next thing.
Yeah, that sort of came out of left field when John Howard decided to take it upon himself to take a crack at Obama. I'm not sure what started that, but
I do not believe it was an independent move.
No.
I do not think that John Howard just suddenly woke up one morning and said, oh, let me go after Obama, mate.
Yeah, well, exactly, because, I mean, if he had taken a shot at somebody in D.C. that, you know, say he'd taken a shot at Hillary.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, that could have, you know, bit him in the ass, so to speak.
Well, Chris, let me let you go here, though. We got to take a break. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks
so much for listening, my brother.
Okay.
It is the Mike Malloy Show, you truth-seeking folks out there on Nova M Radio. Our number is 800-989-1480. I'm Aaron Freeman. Ray Hanania is going to join us for a little bit later on. But right now, we're going to take more calls from you. Well, not right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back on the other side of the hour on the Nova M Radio Network.
Funky down. Nasty.
Hey, listen to the man.
Well, Godfather.
Hey there.
No blame.
The operation to secure Baghdad is going to take time, and there will be violence. As we saw on our TV screens, the terrorists will send car bombs into crowded markets. In other words, these are people that will kill innocent men, women, and children to achieve their objective, which is to discourage the Iraqi people, to foment sectarian violence, and to frankly discourage us from helping this government do its job.
I changed from a glass, now I drink from a paper cup, getting bad.
There will be violence. You see there, now Bush did not tell only lies at his little press conference today. Yes, there will be violence. These are people who will kill innocent men, women, and children to achieve their ends. Gee, who does that sound like? I can't imagine. But let me say that there will be violence was not the only true statement made by President Pinocchio today. He also said,
money trumps peace sometimes.
See, I like that. You see, the word peace kind of stuck in his throat. Money trumps profit. It trumps Petraeus. Anyway, so we're going to be joined for this hour by my ace buddy, Ray Hanania, out there in Chicago, who is still trying to dig his way out of his driveway, no doubt. Ray, how you doing?
I've done a lot of exercising today, and it was good exercise. I think my heart feels better.
Well, I'm glad.
All the shoveling and snow plowing.
Oh, that's good. Did you get to watch Bush at all today? It was an amazing.
Yes, I love the way he, can't completely blame the Iranians, but did a good job of telling everybody that they're responsible for all the problems of killing our soldiers.
Well, you know, what I love about this guy is that, you know, so he says that. Wait, play cut number five here. So he's got this absurd escalation plan that virtually nobody likes. The Republicans who support it do so because they're just blind and don't pay attention to it. But play cut number five here. Listen to this one.
When General Petraeus' nomination was considered 3 weeks ago, the United States Senate voted unanimously to confirm him.
All right. Now, so now it's the Petraeus plan. It's not Bush anymore. It's
right.
Petraeus. And, of course, the $100 billion request for funding is not Bush's request. It's the troops. This guy, he takes no responsibility for any of it. It's an amazing little charming guy. And
well, at least he says he's not going to, he has no immediate plans to invade Iran.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about approving funding for a war on Iran at this moment anyways.
Right, yeah. I mean, we'll just borrow the money from the Chinese. It's all over. There's no problem
at all. We don't have to worry about it. We'll just attack Iran and we'll worry about the money later.
That's right.
Like we did with Iraq.
Well, as a matter of fact, you know, Iran has even more oil than Iraq. Why, the invasion of Iran will be self-funding.
Oh,
it'll be
God.
Self-funding.
We'll be able to drive for free, basically, in the United States. I'm already ready to sign up. Where do I got to sign?
We are going to make money on the invasion of Iran. It's going to be a profit center. It's going to eliminate the deficit.
At this time, it'll work, too.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
This time, we will be able to achieve our goals.
Because we have learned the lessons of history.
Oh, yeah.
We
recent history. Let's not
absolutely.
Go too far back, okay?
Now, we've learned the lessons of recent history. I'm sure this one's going to work. You know, what I've been saying is that rather than telling the Iranians, saying that Iran should not meddle in our occupation, we should. But listen, I believe that we should invite the Iranians in and then blame the whole thing on them. I mean, these guys are masters of rewriting history. I want to see Bush get up there and say, you know, I told Ahmadinejad not to invade Iraq. I told him not to invade Iraq. I told these guys not to dismantle the Iraqi army. And I want to see get old Cheney up there denouncing the inhuman treatment of Iraqi prisoners by the Iranians at Abu Ghraib.
It's what's really shameless about this whole thing is that he just gets up there and he just says whatever he wants to say, and he justifies it by saying, well, if you don't agree with me, obviously you support the killing of our soldiers.
I was on Fox News listening to Fox today, and on Fox the guy says, well, now the Democrats with this debate in the Congress have just come out of the closet and have joined the insurgency. That's it. They've joined the insurgency.
There's
no more debate about it. It's really quite wonderful. So I'm on with Ray Hanania here on the Mike Malloy Show. 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Yeah, it's Ray, you're a journalist. Explain it to me. Explain it to all of us. Why it is, for example, I don't know if you heard in the first hour, this business when they had the little press conference yesterday, and on Sunday they had a press conference, and they had their PowerPoint presentation. Did you hear what I had to say about this in the first hour?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. You'll love this.
Let me tell you what happened.
So they had their PowerPoint presentation of the Iranian weapons that were found by the U.S. in Iraq, right? And one of them was an 81-millimeter mortar round.
Right.
How do we know it was an 81-millimeter mortar round? Because it says so on the shell.
In English.
Now,
I saw that on the news.
Now, how in the world? Where did you see it?
It was on one of the TV stations. They showed it tonight during the network news. They showed the mortar round, and they were showing the kind of weapon that was being used against us.
And did they mention that this Iranian shell, there was something a little odd that the Iranians...
No, they didn't point out that important fact.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah. So now explain it to me. How can this... Okay, I don't want to go crazy, but how can you do the story and not mention the wild incongruity of an Iranian shell whose markings are in English? How does that work?
Well, if we were to ask President Bush, he'd pretty much explain it this way. That's why the Iranians are so crazy.
That's right. They're insane. I forgot. They're just...
Iranians planted this to make us look bad.
Oh, they're clever.
We have to stop them.
But seriously, Ray, you were a journalist. Explain it to me. These are... I mean, journalists are... I thought were trained to be skeptical.
They're as afraid of being attacked for being unpatriotic as every member of Congress was during the first 3 years of the war. I mean, let's face it, the president makes up words that nobody challenges him about. Like, he used this term Islamo-fascist.
Oh, yeah.
And he just throws it out. And not one reporter ever asked him, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Because the word just doesn't exist. And I remember being at a conference of journalists, and I asked the journalists, I said, wouldn't you feel like you should ask them? And they go, well, no, the president said it. We should quote him. And I said, well, right. When he says nuclear, do you just quote him?
Well, okay, but to me, this is a whole other level here. Because
they're afraid to challenge him. That's the problem. The press is afraid to challenge the president.
At peril of being called unpatriotic.
Unpatriotic, absolutely. Now, I think it's changing. But for those first 3 years of the war, if you dared to question the president, you supported the murder of American soldiers.
But wait, now look, this is this week. This week they got an Iranian shell whose markings are in English. Now that's this week. You saw it on the news today. And nobody calls him on this, that it's an Iranian shell and it's the markings are in English. No one, I have not seen anybody call him on this. Nobody.
Well, maybe we can get Katie Couric to bring it up in a very soft and cuddly way tomorrow.
You know, I mean, but I will admit to you that I...
they're only afraid.
But wait, but you know, but let me, I'll say though, I'm not afraid. And I only looked at this more closely enough to notice it myself because I happened to see the Iranian ambassador on television. And actually what he was talking about was the fact that also on this mortar shell, the date is dated 3-2006. And he pointed out that nobody in the world outside of the United States does their dates with the month first, then the year.
That's true.
That everybody else, yeah, everybody else does the
That's
year.
That's true. In the Middle East, it's very confusing. They do it completely different.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right.
Well, that was,
just,
yeah.
That's a good point.
And
so,
that was what he was pointing out, and that was what led me to go and look, to go try to find the picture myself, and
well,
it was not an easy picture to find.
Well, normally the president wouldn't have brought this up himself. He would have had Colin Powell testifying before a committee
that
they found the tubes,
yeah,
and therefore they had the nuclear weapons. And by the time we'd even get to the issue of details like English or the the way the date was, it would have been 3 years into a war where we would have lost about 2,500 American soldiers, and at that point we'd say, well, yeah, you know, the shell was ours, as it turns out, but it's too late. We're in the war.
That's right. You got
to
support the
troops.
We have
to get out of the problem. Let's forget about the lies. Let's deal with now.
It is the Michael Malloy Show. Forgive me, Ray. It's the Michael Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania chatting with you right now. The number is 800-989-1480. We're going to come back and we're going to chat with you about this absurd press conference and the Iranian threat, man, on Nova M Radio. It's the Mike Malloy Show, Truth Seekers. My name is Aaron Freeman, sitting in for a couple days here on Nova M Radio, joined in this hour by our ace buddy, my ace buddy, Ray Hanania. We were chatting before the break about this absurd, unbelievably insulting, quote-unquote, evidence of Iranian involvement in Iraq. The photo, which is available if you Google Iran evidence Iraq, if you Google, do a Google on the blogs, not the regular Google, the Google blog search, you can see it. It's and not only is it in English, but the date structure goes month, year, which is not done anywhere except in the U.S. And, Ray, you mentioned another point.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, first going back to your other point, which was very good, none of the mainstream media are writing about this. I'm going to write about this now tomorrow because, and I'm going to credit you in the show because this is amazing. But on top of it, when you think about it, not only do Middle Easterners not use, you know, the standard Western way to list month, day, and year, but they have a whole different calendar. The year 2006 in the Muslim calendar is 1426. There's a 580-year difference because they begin their calendar when Muhammad, you know, became the prophet, but which is 500 when he was born, I guess.
But I guess, maybe, though, they put the, they do the date in English, do it in English and do it a Western date so that Americans will know and fear. They want
well, they just assume, you know, Americans are used to, you know, it tells you how little respect
absolutely
the president has for the American people, that they think we're so stupid
but
that at some point we won't even recognize this as a flaw.
But apparently, in terms of the U.S. media, that lack of respect is justified. Because, again, if you write about this tomorrow in Wynette News or the Southwest News Herald,
Arabisto.com, which is well-read in the Arab world and by the mainstream media, I'm going to put it right on there tomorrow.
Well, if you write about it,
you
may be the first one to do it. So these guys, as insulting as it is, much contempt as it speaks of that they have, as much as it speaks their contempt for us, that contempt is apparently justified. And as annoying as
I mean,
as
even
that
they
is.
Were, there's a reference to the letters H-E,
yeah.
Which in English refers to high explosive.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, who would put high explosive? You're right, it says March 2006.
It's unbelievable. That
81 millimeter. I mean, it's just, hey, great evidence. It sure is better than those aluminum pipes that Colin Powell had to wave in front of that committee destroyed his career 3 years later.
But at least you could look at the aluminum pipes and have some doubt. You could because how many of us really understood the difference between pipes that were used for rockets and pipes that were used for centrifuges?
It meant nothing. The point is that it's a prop.
Absolutely.
Just like this mortar shell, it's a prop. Because, they have so little respect. I mean, the mistake they're making is the American people today are not the same American people of 4 years ago. They recognize that President Bush lied about everything.
But, Ray, nobody in the American media has picked this up.
They are the same media. You're right. But the American media isn't going to risk anything until it is prosecuted in the public. In other words, they're not going to expose it until they know it's safe to expose it. And I that is a flaw in the American media that I think needs to be corrected. But, that is even another bigger problem.
Yeah, the corporate media. All right, we're going to take some calls here. Let's talk. Oh, actually, the longest holding caller has been Blake in San Francisco. And, Blake, you had something to say about mind control.
Yeah, I think it's important to look at the involvement in the CIA. In all the stuff that's going on and the problems with the Bush administration, the fact that his old man was the CIA director for a while. There are a couple of books that I've run into recently. One of them is called Contract on America. Author is David E. Scheim. He is he actually put this out in public domain, so it's not making money. This guy wants the information out. And it's highly documented. He gives a lot of background information on the murders of Kennedy, the Kennedys, the murders of Martin Luther King, and the level of corruption that exists at the top levels of the CIA.
Okay.
Another one is KGB/CIA. It's about both organizations, the Russian and the American. It's Jonathan Block and Selena Bladowska, Block's B-L-O-C-H. It's in that one that it covers a lot of the CIA techniques that were used overseas in political subversion overseas that look like they're being used domestically in the United States now in the same way. A lot of it started out called the Bluebird program, but then changed over to the MK Ultra program. Now MK Ultra gets a lot of weird, distorted versions and comments on the internet, but it is a real program. And it probably creates things like Osama bin Laden and these weird political figures that seem to be completely irrational.
Understand. We got to take a break here. Thanks a lot, very much, Blake. Appreciate you calling.
Yeah.
All right, it's the Mike Malloy Show. Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania. We'll be right back after these messages on Nova M Radio. That's also NovaMRadio.com. Living in America. That's Ian Huff, our engineer on the music. Rocking it tonight on Air America. I'm not Eric America. I'm Nova M Radio. Nova M Radio here. My name's Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Happy to talk to you, Truth Seekers, and joined by Ray Hanania. Now, there have been some questions I see on the board here about where people are curious as to where they can get a copy of the picture, where they can see this Iranian mortar shell with the English love markings. So, Ray, I believe you put, have you put that up?
I'm posting it right now at Hanania.com. You'll be able to see a link to the photo. And actually, there is one story about it. Not really questioning the details, but it was in the Guardian, I think. In the UK. So you'll be able to see that story plus a detailed photo. I think this ran a day and a half ago, February 12th, but it appears to be the only story.
So this was a story, then what does the story say?
That talks about the mortar, and it doesn't, it just, you know, actually it shows a picture of it, but it doesn't challenge the fact. You know, maybe this is better evidence. This story in the Telegraph in the UK doesn't even challenge the fact that this mortar is in English.
It's just
it's very
amazing,
sad.
It's an amazing thing.
It is. This will be up in about 2 minutes right now. I'm just getting it all ready.
All right, let's take a
Hanania.com. It'll be right up. You'll be able to look at it.
All right, and while we're waiting for it to come up on Hanania.com, let's chat with Kevin in Silver Springs, Maryland. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, you're on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the Mike Malloy Show.
Yeah. I just want to point out, you know, getting out of this Iraqi situation is not going to be as easy as we think it is, you know.
Is your radio on, Kevin?
No, my TV is on, though.
Oh, could you turn it down?
I'll turn it down.
Kind of distracting.
I'll turn it off. I'm sorry.
Okay, just hit the mute button while you're talking to us. There you go.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm kind of tangled up here. Yeah, but...
You're saying getting out of this Iraq situation.
Okay, it's kind of like holding the wolf by the ears, let's say, in the sense that if we pull out immediately, it's going to be a major disaster, because it's not like Vietnam where we pulled out and the killing fields began. It's going to be... Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a situation where... Okay, the killing fields will begin, but it will be nuclear weapons involved.
Who has nuclear weapons in the Middle East aside from Israel?
Israel, Iran, hello?
Iran, what makes you think Iran has any nuclear weapons? Oh, we lost him. I'm so sad. I would love to have heard that.
I think the point he's making is that, boy, if we get out of there, it's going to, regardless of whatever... We're in a situation where people are going to use nuclear weapons. You want to know something? People, if they have those nuclear weapons, are going to use them anyway, whether we're there or not, correct?
Well, I would certainly think so, but I must say that this whole business about Iran and its nuclear weapons is a crock of horse hockey.
Right, it is.
The IAEA...
By the way, it's posted now. You can go to the website, Hanania.com. The Iranian mortar picture and story.
All right. But, yeah, this is just such a crock of horse hockey. This is just nonsense. The Mohammed Al-Baradei of the IAEA, and you can look us up at IAEA.org, the International Atomic Energy Agency, has said on numerous occasions there is absolutely no evidence of any diversion of Iraqi nuclear material to any weapons program. Now, the complaint, the concern that the U.S. and Israel have is that Iran will acquire the know-how to do it. And that they may well, but that happens to be science and knowledge and information, and you just can't stop that. I would say that the far more rational and appropriate way to deal with somebody who you know is going to learn how to make nuclear weapons is to make friends with them before they do it, to diminish their incentive to blow you up. But that's weak, I know. It's weakness. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think most human beings in this world, even the crazy ones.
You mean like the ones who voted for Bush?
Yeah, even those crazy ones.
The crazy suicidal ones, yeah.
You know, there are crazy people no matter what who would do everything they can. The best tactic is to do the right thing. I mean, you don't start a war and turn it into a laboratory for terrorism where people can go and get training,
well, that's
learn how to do this, because that's what we've done. We actually have created a recruiting ground for Al-Qaeda.
Anbar Province's graduate school for jihadis.
Just the way Afghanistan was in the war against the Russians.
And I think it's...
was a graduate school for the very same people that we are... we trained them, we supplied them. I'll bet any amount of money if this more... of course, this is dated 2006, but... we provided a lot of the weapons that have been used against us to the very same people.
And certainly expertise. Let's talk to Don right now. Don in Texas, you are on the Mike Mueller Show there in Freeman and Ray Hanania.
Hey, Dan.
Don?
Yeah.
Yo, dog.
Yeah, I'm here.
Howdy.
Hello, how are you doing tonight?
Best day of my life.
I was wondering, didn't Cheney or someone say that they knew the... martyrs came from Iran because they had the numbers, matched?
They claimed they had serial numbers from the Finns. You know, and I got to admit to you, Don, that had not occurred to me either. What does that mean? They looked at the serial numbers, and the serial numbers were Iranian.
Yeah, we put out a list of our serial numbers on all our weapons?
Well, you know what I used to
Oh, my God, I can't believe that hadn't occurred to me either.
Listen, I recall in the beginning the joke that was going around about how does Bush know Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction in there? Because we sold them to him.
Oh.
We had the inventory of those weapons. Everything he had came from us. So we didn't have to prove anything. We knew they were there because, you know, Rumsfeld gave them to him during the first runaround. Prior to the Desert Storm.
So that's probably
the invasion of Kuwait.
Probably
so by the date we just sent those missiles, those martyrs over to Iran.
Yeah, that's it. That's probably what happened. You see,
taken off the assembly line and shipped over.
And that's how we got. And we'd had to keep track of the serial numbers because you got to have quality control. If you're going to sell rocket fins, you got to have quality control here.
This is about the only time we have quality control, right? If we want to buy a turkey in Iraq right now, it would probably cost us $5,000. But God forbid that we'd have a mortar that we couldn't track down.
But
didn't have a serial number.
But you see, Don, I think your point is, again, it makes the point about how difficult it is how easy it is to make just insane assumptions. I'm telling you, Don, I've been sitting here all day thinking about how stupid this was, this whole mortar thing is, but you're absolutely right. What does that mean they got the serial numbers off the Finns and proved they're Iranian? What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, means we gave it to them and they gave it back to us.
I don't even know what they want us to think about that. What is that supposed to mean? I guess the fact that they said serial numbers, and that's supposed to be it sounds very definitive. You know, we all know that serial numbers show a point of origin, and so if they say serial numbers, we're all supposed to win, and in my case, it worked. I just stopped and go, okay, they have serial numbers.
How did they get a list of those numbers?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, that's...
I have one other question. Have the Indonesians wiped out the Timorians yet?
Well, I don't think they have yet. I think the Timorians just... although I must admit, I haven't really followed it. Are you following the Timorian
No,
crisis?
I'm a truck driver, and I don't watch the news too much because my blood pressure gets too high.
Well, you know, Danny Schechter said the more you watch, the less you know. So you're probably a much better informed. Obviously, you were better informed than me. You thought it through better than I did because I watched too much of it. So thank you very much, Don.
You have a good night.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
Bye-bye.
You know, isn't that amazing? He's absolutely right. Had you thought about that?
No, actually. I just assumed the president was telling the truth. You know, I mean, his track record has been so good. You know, why would I doubt him?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Because cynicism is a form of cowardice. You know?
That's right. You know, and you know what? I'm tired of being a cynic, okay?
I am as well. Let's talk to Haven, I believe. Haven in Durham, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Haven, you got it.
Hey.
You're on the Mike Mueller Show.
Yes, yes. Now, how do you spell the name of your website,
Hanania, HANANIA.com.
HANANIA.com.
And, you know, don't let the humor stuff on the page distract you from the serious item about the mortar, okay?
And where is it, on the top of the page, bottom?
It's right on the right side of the page, and you'll see it right over there. That's clear as day when you get there.
And to Mr. Freeman?
Yes, sir.
Do you have your own radio show?
Well, I mean, for the next 48 hours, I have this one. But no,
okay.
I do not. I work as a commentator on NPR and on the Air America affiliate in Chicago, WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Okay, because I had never heard of you before. But you, I like your sound, though.
Well, you are most kind, my brother. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye-bye. It is the Mike Millett Show here on Nova M Radio, 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. We're talking about some of the evidence, quote-unquote, the evidence presented by the Bush administration to prove that the evil Iranians are the cause of all the trouble in Iraq. It's all about the Iranians. We're going to be back with Ray Hanania and your calls on the Nova M Radio Network. The Mike Millett Show. I'm Aaron Freeman with Ray Hanania. I just did a little Google search right quick on here on USA Today. It quotes Secretary of Defense Robert Gates saying that serial numbers and markings found on explosives provide, quote, pretty good evidence that Iran is supplying either weapons or expertise. Oh, yeah, the serial numbers prove that they're providing expertise. Why didn't we think of that? Obviously. This is like, you know, like, it's like your teacher signing your report card. You know, so they put the little serial numbers at the end of it. Oh, my goodness.
There's even another issue that, you know, as you go through, and you got to give credit to the blogs because that's the only place where this issue apparently is being discussed.
Yep.
And one of the things is that they pointed out is that if you were a ally of the United States, you would use an 81-millimeter shell. But if you were an ally who is from the Middle East, chances are you're being supplied by the Soviet Union, and they don't use 81-millimeter shells. They use 82-millimeter shells. So, I mean, there are all these questions, and it, regardless of whether there's an answer for it, you made a great point. Nobody asked.
It's an astonishing thing. It is, but again, you and I, who are no by no stretch of anybody's imagination fans of these guys and don't trust these guys at all, it's up until you looked at that blog, you probably hadn't thought about that.
No, at absolutely.
Least, but at least I would say that not knowing that, I don't feel like stupid for not knowing that the Soviets use 82-millimeter shells as opposed to 81. I don't feel stupid about that.
Right.
Not noticing that it was in English. Now that you gotta say. All right, let's keep going here. Let's talk to Andy in Texas. Andy, you got a comment about the serial numbers? Andy, you're on the Mike Millett Show.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
All right, we're having fun.
Yeah, man, listen, not that you guys might not have already known this, but, you know, most munitions, particularly any type of cartridges that are made as far as firearms and mortars, things of that nature, they put lot numbers and serial numbers on them. Obviously, yeah, as a quality control.
Yes.
So that if you get a batch that's bad, they can track down all the lots and munitions from that set that was bad.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you guys think it's possible that maybe they might have obtained the numbers from the shell and matched them against the list that any of our operatives that we have in that country could have obtained from any of those arsenals? I mean, I'm sure that most of those, you know, especially with like the Russians, I mean, it's pretty wide, well known, you know, where their arsenals are at and where munitions are manufactured. Do you think it's possible that anybody could have got in there to get those list of lot numbers?
Well, it is certainly possible. I mean, your point is well taken. However, they don't even claim it. They just say, well, their serial numbers prove it. I guess the level of skepticism, given the, for example, the English language mortar shells, the level of skepticism that I have about anything these guys say is so incredibly high that I find it difficult to take them seriously, and I absolutely assume the least honest about everything they say.
Well, sure. And also the issue that, you know, it's true. 3 years ago, who was going to make an argument about aluminum shells? I mean, what would we know about that? What do I know about nuclear weapons? But knowing that they lied about all this stuff, when
right.
we look at the mortar shell,
right.
you're right, it should have occurred to us to say, well, now, wait a minute. Is this really true, or is this just another lie?
Right.
And that should have prompted us to say, wait a minute, why would the Iranians mark their shells in English? It doesn't make sense. Why would they use the Western Gregorian calendar rather than, you know, their own Hijra, you know, Hijra calendar, I think it's what it's called, which is based on the sun and dates back to 621. On our calendar.
But, Andy, your point is well taken. It could be there, but, you know, really the most important point that I think Ray and I are trying to make is that somebody's got to ask that. You know, somebody needs to ask that, and it is the job of our news organizations to ask that question, to look that up. If those numbers are available, if those lot numbers are available, if those Iranian lot numbers are available, somebody needs to be looking at that, and you can't just, obviously, since some of their evidence is clearly nonsensical, you can't just take it on face value.
Sure, and I haven't got to see the picture yet. I'm not near a computer right now, so I haven't got to see the picture of it, and I didn't get to see the conference they held. And
no one got to see that. No, they didn't allow any photographs. They didn't allow any video at the little press briefing. And in fact, they did not even allow the briefers' names to be used. And what does that tell you?
I don't know. As far as the English markings on it,
yeah.
And of course, it's just a shot in the dark here, but I know my dad and I are both, we shoot a lot and do a lot of shooting, but a lot of the ammo that we've purchased that's come from Russia and other countries, it's been marked in English now. It's almost as if they've geared it because they know so much of it is shipped to the U.S., you know, but...
Could it be that it's manufactured in the United States and sold to these countries?
They could go either way. I just, like I said, that was just kind of a little thing I'd noticed about some of the Russian ammo and some of the ammo that I've gotten from other countries is that it's been marked in English, even though it's produced somewhere else.
Again,
I don't know why they do that now, but...
If the idea is that the Iranians are marking their mortar shells in English so that the Americans can know how to use them, I mean, I...
Well, no, because what I'm getting at is, I mean, to my knowledge, and again, I'm by no means an expert on what countries have, you know, what type of arsenals where they're manufacturing weapons, but I know the bulk of the weapons... in the Middle East don't actually come from the Middle East. I mean, that's pretty
common knowledge. This claim,
a lot of it's Soviet stuff.
Well, this is the claim that they're making is that these were manufactured in the Soviet in Iran. But hang on a second, we'll keep you on here. This is really kind of fun. We'll take a break. This is the Nova M Radio Network. We're on with Andy in Texas and with Ray Hedonia. I'm Aaron Freeman for Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network.
Funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart.
You believe it's a civil war, sir?
I can only tell you what people on the ground are suggesting. It's hard for me in the, you know, living in the this beautiful White House to give you an assessment. First-hand assessment. I haven't been there. You have. I haven't. But I do talk to people who are and people whose judgment I trust, and they would not qualify it as that. There are others who think it is.
Less than Greek.
Oh, he doesn't go there. He lives in that beautiful house inside his own mind, where everything is lovely, where every intelligence report that says America is threatened is true, where the soldiers all love him, where the country doesn't really matter because his sagacious pronouncements are always filled with wisdom and joy, and the nice little Congress just shuts up and does whatever he says. For George Bush, each day is Valentine's Day. Oh, it's just a beautiful thing. But then there are people like Ray Hanania and me and you who ask, what is this garbage? This ain't no Valentine. This is a bloody heart that he's ripped out of the chest of our country. And it's dripping dollar bills, dripping blood, dripping truth onto the bitter dust. I don't mean to go overboard here. I didn't mean to get too purple about this. It's fine. The Mike Malloy Show. It's the Valentine. It's the Valentine's Day, the last Valentine's hour of the Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio Network with Ray Hedonia and me, Aaron Freeman. And we're also going to talk to Bob in Amherst, Ma. Bob, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, how you doing? You're starting to sound like Mike Malloy.
I consider that high praise.
That's a compliment.
There you go.
Hey, you know, arms are, manufacturers don't care who they sell their weapons to, you know. It's the global economy.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Well, but
there was a thing, was it 60 Minutes or Frontline, about how the Netherlands brokers these things, and they change the, you know, they change where it comes from and where it's going to. In Vietnam, they found the M16s in the North Vietnamese hands of dead soldiers that were made in Israel. I mean, they don't care who they sell this stuff to.
Well,
they got operations going on in Iran through Halliburton, hidden by some Caribbean, corporation.
Well, say that. I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
Cheney, at one point, when the Iran had these sanctions on it,
yes,
had operations going, Halliburton businesses going over, probably building oil wells or whatever they were doing. And it was hidden by because it was coming out of some Caribbean corporation that was, I don't know if he's probably still got them going on over there.
And so, the idea is that the Iranians are putting U.S. markings on them because Iran doesn't care who they sell their weapons to?
No, arms manufacturers, they could have been made anywhere. They could have been made in...
The assertion is that these were made in Iran. That's what the administration is saying.
No, they came from Iran. They weren't necessarily made there.
I was just looking, actually, you know.
Let's address that point. That's a good point that he makes. Let's address that.
Well, I was just looking at USA Today, did a search on USA Today today, and they, apparently it says that Robert Gates says that these were manufactured in Iran in the last year.
Actually, you're correct, but let's just assume for the sake of argument that, hey, these weapons are, you know, sold to countries like Iran. I mean, the president's argument is basically that I can't prove that the government of Iran is behind this. I know that there's some people in Iran that are supplying these weapons. But as far as I'm concerned, that makes them guilty. Does that not mean that the United States also is an accomplice in this crime if we manufacture this weapon and we somehow allowed the Iranians to buy it?
Of
Doesn't
course.
That make us guilty as a government?
Well, the arms manufacturers, they sell them to some kind of a broker.
Yeah, but they're monitored and...
The brokers are in the Netherlands. This is what I understand.
Well, and listen, I just...
can ship this stuff to places. They want to sell the stuff, too, because they're going to make a cut on it.
Let's go bomb the Netherlands, then.
Well, again, I can just say, when the search I just did in the USA Today story claims that these were made in Iran. That's the claim that is made by Robert Gates.
Whether they were made by Halliburton, and they only know English.
Well, you know, that's most likely it. You're most likely right. I don't know what was on my mind. I'm sure you're right.
Here's something to be tracked down. There was a news crawl on C-SPAN about Sadr, this guy who's evidently got this militia in Baghdad and causing lots of problems over there.
The Mekhi-Ari.
And since they've got this this new search and look, you know, find out who's who and what's where with the new mission, that he's gone, he's left. Baghdad, and guess where he went to?
Well, first of all, you know, as you know, his followers say that it's not true, that he's never left. That
yeah,
he
but the news report says.
Well, I believe everything that I read in the U.S. news. There's no question about it. And certainly when they cite U.S. intelligence, I know that's true. However,
he went to Iran, right?
I'm sorry?
That's what the news report said. He went to Iran.
That is what the news reports say, and the news reports also say that his supporters say that it didn't happen.
Well, when you got a war going on like this, you try out new weapons, you try out new propaganda, you try out new black operations, you try it all out.
Are you talking about Bush or the Iranians?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Bush.
Oh, well, sure, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And if I were Bush, I would try anything, particularly since they can get away with all kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but when it comes right down to it, this is not Bush's war. This is the corporate imperialist. This is the military-industrial complex.
Oh, sure.
And,
Ralph Nader said? Ralph Nader said that George Bush is a multinational corporation disguised as a human being.
They hand him a script, you know. They hand him a script. They wire him up, you know. He's not competent enough to be managing any of it.
I could not disagree more. I think that George Bush has always benefited from being underestimated. And I would remind you can say what you want about him, but he beat Al Gore in the debates. He beat John Kerry in the debates.
That's Karl Rove. That's not George Bush.
There was only one guy out there on the stage.
Well, Karl Rove was managing everything in the background.
Okay. I give President Bush a lot of credit for having the most subtle intellect I've ever known.
Well, it is subtle. Well, you know what Charlie Rangel said? George Bush has forever destroyed the myth of white supremacy. All right, thank you very much, Bob.
Given a very low bar, you know, and that which gives him, you know, if he goes over the bar, we can't believe it.
That's true. All right, thank you very much, Bob.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to talk a little bit more about Bush, and then we're going to move on to Valentine's Day and true love. True love. I am a man in true love, as is Ray Hedonia, but I'm not in love with arms from Iran. But Dan in Berkeley has some comments on that. Dan, you're on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi.
Your dog.
Oh, yeah. So I had a couple comments. The first one was that I don't buy at all the Iranian connection, but assuming for a minute that there's some truth to it.
Big assumption. Go ahead.
Yeah, big assumption. I find it interesting that the administration would seek to blame the arms dealer when in this country, in Smith & Wesson is selling arms to our kids. We have a slogan, something to the effect of guns don't kill people, insurgents kill people, or something like that.
Did you ever see, there's a great movie, Lord of War, with Nicolas Cage?
Stunning. Yeah, first 4 minutes are stunning.
Well, the first line of that movie is, there are 550,000 firearms in the world. That's one firearm for every 12 people on Earth. My question is, how do I arm the other 11?
And most are made in the U.S. and most are exported. It brings me to my second point. You're right. The media isn't touching this. And if you want to find out why the American media isn't touching it, come on, we're talking about the same media that employs five-time convicted felon Oliver North.
It's true.
And you want to talk about how they got to Iran? Ask him. He used to work for Bush's dad.
It's true. It's true. It is, to ask why the corporate media doesn't cover it is a question that answers itself.
If they start asking that question, they're going to have to, you know, where do you stop? They're going to have to start asking a lot of questions.
And they're not going to be doing that. But Ray Hedonia will. Ray Hedonia is.
I've just posted my column.
On Air. What is it called? Where did the site?
Arabisto.com, and it's going to go into the Southwest News Herald. And it credits you, Aaron.
Well,
he
you're
is
almost
the substitute host for Mike Malloy, Arabisto.com.
Arabisto.com.
The story's there. We got it.
Thank
the
you very much,
is
Dan.
Out.
The truth is out. All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to come back. We're going to do one more segment. I swear to God, we're doing one more segment on this Bush and Iran thing, and then we're going to move on to love, 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 because we love you out there in Mike Malloy land. It's NOVAM Radio, and NOVAM Radio Network, with Ray Hedonia is on with us tonight, and it's Aaron Freeman, and it's YOU, full of love, love, on NOVAM Radio.
I'd find someone like you. Don't sleep true. My old thing, oh my. You're the reason why I love you till the day I die.
And it's the Mike Miller Show. It's Aaron Freeman and Ray Hanania on the Nova M Radio Network. We're going to take just one more call about the Iran connection and the Iraq connection from Armand in Florida. Armand, welcome. You're on the Mike Miller Show.
Hey, how you all doing tonight? Pretty good?
Oh, fantastically. Great. Especially since you called.
Well, hey. I think that, it's my understanding, I just heard CNN, and you know they never lie. They're going to have a closed session meeting tomorrow about some debate about this Iraq situation and the surge.
Who's going to have a debate?
Pardon?
Who's going to have a debate?
Congress.
Oh, you mean something in addition to the debate that the House of Representatives is doing?
Yes. I think they're going to have, if I'm correct, it's going to be a closed Senate discussion.
Oh, yeah. Okay, because I know I read that the Senate, that the Olympia Snow and I believe, I forget who else it was, Hagel, Olympia Snow and Chuck Hagel, two Republican senators, wrote a letter to the leadership complaining that they wanted a chance to debate the Iraq War and to vote on it in some form.
Well, it sounds like they're going to have a little chat with Junior and pull him off to the side and say, you know, this is what we got on you. And, you know, this is what we really know about from the military intelligence of what the truth is. And we understand that he's between a racket and a hard place. But, you know, this is the way it is. And don't you think they ought to have a tape recorder in that closed session and play it kind of loud when they got Junior in there? You know, when he was making that speech, wasn't it at a press club or something before his base, all the millionaires and billionaires, and he was making the cute little jokes about no weapons under here, no weapons under there. Remember that?
Oh, yes, yeah, I do recall that.
That was the Washington Gridiron. Wasn't that the media gridiron?
That might have been. Yeah. You're absolutely right. That might have been. I think that was the Gridiron Club.
Well, I mean, I think really enough is enough. And, you know, if he's out to destroy this country, he's doing a hell of a good job.
Well, that, you know, I think there are a lot of people who really have that feeling, and I increasingly have that feeling that in Hebrew there's a term, yeshgvul. There's a limit, there's a border, there's just enough. And this is clearly enough. I saw Max Cleland, former Senator Max Cleland, was on CNN, and I did believe that because it was Max Cleland, and I saw him. But he was saying that he describes Bush's policies as a runaway freight train, with Bush on the throttle, pushing it forward even faster toward the brick wall.
Well, you know what it. Okay, if you try and you really dig deep, and I mean really deep, to try to look at this guy and look at some good out of this, and you know, because he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and his family and his father, not unlike others, but not to the degree of him, obviously, you know, have consistently cleaned his messes up and bribed his way and fixed things for him all his life. It's just possible, you know, this is, you know, way out there maybe, but it's just possible that these very people that he's convinced that he's supporting, because since he's been in, he's done everything for the multimillionaires and billionaires.
Sure.
And to hell with everybody else.
First.
So Bush may have, you know, something back there that tells him that he thinks that, like you said, this train's running down the track and it's a runaway train. He may think that he can never confront the people that truly run this country, the Rockefellers.
Oh, sure.
And the super rich people head on. And maybe he thinks that he can just keep feeding them fuel and keep feeding them fuel, and the whole damn thing will go over cliff so far that'll be the only way to ever take power away from these people is just give them so much that the whole thing comes to a conclusion.
You think it's possible that Bush is secretly on our side? He's deep, deep, deep undercover?
Well,
Maybe.
I don't know. It's possible.
Right. Well, listen,
you know, because
Armin, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have facing a hard break here. But thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, then we're going to come back, and we're going to change subjects altogether. We're going to do our Valentine's Day thing. We're going to talk about love, love, love. Hopefully, we'll talk with you about love at 800-989-1480. Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network.
Sex machine, you got to have the feeling. Sure as you're born, get it together. Right on, right on. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up.
I know what I want. Baby, I know what I like. You're the one. You're my choice for life.
Oh yeah, Barry White. Looking for a woman with progressive ideals.
Every bit of you.
Every idea. Every I want pro-choice. I want anti-gun. I want anti-Bush. Oh yeah, that's a special one, anti-Bush. Oh, this is the Nova M Radio, the Mike Malloy Show. Aaron Freeman here with Ray Hanania. Looking for love, talking about the love. Now, Ray and I are a couple of married, very happily married guys, sending the love out to my lovely bride, Sharon.
Mine too, to Allison.
That's right. Now, so what I really want to know, what I want to ask people about is, I'd love to hear you talk about it, 800-989-1480. How do you stay married for 20 years? This is a question that I'm very fond of asking because I'm very curious because we've been married for 4 years and I've never, now, Ray, you've had your share of marriages.
It's number three.
You're on number three. I'm on number three myself. I'm hitting three myself.
This is 10 years for me.
Oh, my goodness. So what's your...
Which is a record.
That's good. That's good. Now, what's your trick? Give me some advice, my brother, for staying married for 10 years.
I give her a lot of space.
Give her a lot of space.
I give her a lot of space to, you know, I just don't smother her with need.
And did you do something cute and romantic for your little honey on
Yeah, today? I'm here doing the radio show with you at the very moment.
Giving her some more space. Giving her some more space. That's
giving
right.
Giving her some more space.
800-989-1480. I hope you truth seekers will come out and give us some truth about love. Do some love truth. Do you want to hear what you have to say? Let's take a quick call here from... let me say this before we do that, before we talk to Alex out in Scottsdale, that when I want to ask people often how it is they can maintain marriages for multiple decades, the most common... a lot of times you hear communication. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Communication. You got to be able to talk to each other. You got to be able to tell the good, the bad, the ugly. You got to be able to talk it out in ways. Who was it? They say don't. I think it was Molly Ivins who said, me and my husband, we don't believe in going to bed mad. We just stay up and fight. Stay up and keep fighting.
I think there's a little bit of in between there, though. It's communication. Just enough. Not too much, okay? Because I'll tell you, the worst thing is when we both talk too much to each other and we become annoying. You got to give people space.
Well, Ben Franklin said one must marry with both eyes open and keep them half shut thereafter. Now you have a daughter.
Yes, from a prior marriage and a 6-year-old son.
That's
from
right.
The current marriage.
And now your daughter, is she a marriageable, you're an older man.
No, she's a modern day person who is living in sin.
Okay. You know, that's
but
fine.
Which is okay because she works for the Department of Homeland Security, so I guess it fits.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. She got hired. She's a federal agent. She practices when she comes home for Thanksgiving, tackling members of the family.
And that's always important.
You know, to the ground, handcuffing us.
That's very good. And your son is a very patriotic young boy, too, right?
Sure. He turned me into the FBI 3 times just today.
All right. 989-81480, 989-1480. We're talking love on the Mike Malloy Show with Alex. Alex in Scottsdale.
Hey, Alex. did.
Yeah, you guys are asking me about The Secret to Love.
That's it, The Secret to Love.
It's the most powerful thing in the universe. In fact, other people from other places come and see us just to prove it.
Now, what is the secret?
It's just the powerful thing in the universe. It's the one thing that the ultimate being gave to all of us humans or people in human form.
So
just
now,
the fact that it's out there is the secret.
Yeah, that and more, because the more love you give, the more you share, no matter what happens. I mean, in my youth, I went through a lot of different things, which I need not to extrapolate in. But for the point of, as I got older, I learned it was easier, you know, like Gandhi, what do you call that? There's a name for it. I'm trying to remember it, because I'm having a
senior moment.
Yes, a senior moment. You know, it's like John Bolton. He could arrange a pacifist. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
These guys, I don't even see how they could ever be married.
Well, you know, now, the Oxford English Dictionary defines love as that disposition or state of feeling with regard to a person or object which manifests itself in solicitation for the welfare of the object and usually also delight in its presence and desire for its approval.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of words for love, okay?
Well,
what I like about that is the idea is that it manifests itself in solicitation for the welfare, which is that love's not love that has not action's name, that love is about what you do and how you behave.
Well, you know, I found that I kind of spread my love around. I got 10 boys with 10 different women, and I've absolutely never been married.
Alex, this is not true. This is not true. You're not that kind of guy.
This is
from the heart. I'm not even a movie star. I'm just a regular person like the rest of us.
That's desire, I think, on your part, right?
Well, it was more than desire. Except I fell in love with the wrong kind of girls because they're always into more, so they found richer men. Yeah, they were the kind of more girls. You know, it was like there was a bartender in Scottsdale, and this couple came in for like 17 years. And every Valentine's Day they shared, you know, what kept them so happy. So one time they come in, the guy comes in alone. He goes, what happened? So for a week, this bartender's asking what happened. He says, well, each day I'll give you one chance to guess. So every week he comes in for 2 weeks this last. He finally says, just tell me what happened. It wasn't another woman. It wasn't another man. He goes, no, it was about the word more. She was never happy. She always wanted more.
You know, I think Linda Lavner said, there are several mechanical devices known to stimulate erotic desire in women. Chief among these is the Mercedes-Benz 600 SL.
Absolutely. And it depends on whether it's got gold highlights or not also.
The gold highlights are very good. Although I know a lot of guys who get really happy about those gold highlights too.
I don't know. I saw a car the other day that reminded me of my youth, and I'm going to date myself by saying this, but this was a 1979 Cadillac Eldorado with the classic California kit, you know, the big grill, the gold, and somebody, this client of mine's father, he was at the hospital in San Diego, and somebody had to steal the Continental kit off the back.
Now, could I make an argument here?
Please
go
do.
Ahead.
That the very discussion we're having is the exact opposite of the secret of a good marriage. We are talking about what interests us as men. That is not a way to succeed in a marriage.
Well, you can succeed in marriage because, like you said earlier, I just let her do her thing, and that's cool. And that's what I do with all these girls. Another friend of mine had a famous saying. He says, give everybody enough rope to hang themselves, and they will.
But now, I would say, though, there's not a secret to men. Men just kind of need an excuse and a place. I mean,
That's true.
Guys, our needs are very simple. We don't really ask a whole lot. We just kind of want to, you know, we want landscape upon which to roll our fingers. And we're pretty much in love. It's pretty much safe and easy to figure out.
Well, I found another way to ruin a relationship is become handicapped and become paralyzed. And I was paralyzed for a while. And then through a gift from the man above, I was healed. But for a while, you know, at that point, I became what was being known as like women. I became a lesbian.
Well, is it okay for me to ask that didn't provoke, now that you're healed, didn't it cause some sympathy, you know, like
yeah.
you know, for women? Didn't it create a whole sympathy factor that you employed?
No, that just draws stalkers.
Okay. Paralysis did nothing for your love life, huh?
Well, no, it actually gave me, because I used to think I was pretty, had a major large prowess. And when, you know, now I know how John Holmes feels. But, you know.
Okay.
But the thing about that is, though, is until it's taken away, you don't know what you got.
I understand. Well, Alex, thank you very much. And I hope that you are, are you married now?
No, I'm perpetually single.
Well, it's good for you. And I hope you enjoy that.
I have a lot of friends.
And I hope you love yourself.
Oh, absolutely. We got to love everybody like we would love our mom.
There you. Well, I mean, that's a whole other issue, my friend.
A mother's love is like God's love. If you love everybody like you should love them, they should stay your friends for the rest of your life.
Well, that's a very nice thought. Well, thank you,
my
brother.
I'm glad we ended that conversation on a mother.
Thank you, Alex.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, happy Valentine's Day to you. All right. So it's the Valentine's half hour here, the Valentine's final half hour here on the Mike Malloy Show on NoVam Radio at 800-989-1480. We're going to take a break. We'll take a break in a good second here. We're going to come back for our final segment with Ray Hanania on the Mike Malloy Show. We're hoping to hear a little more about you and love. We know that there's probably people who are out here doing that love thing and not listening to the radio. And actually, that's probably the greatest hope that we would have. If you got time to be calling us up talking about love, maybe that's not such a great deal. But if you are, if you finished your love, whatever it is you're doing, if you're getting ready for some late night love, give us a call at 800-989-1480. Talk a little bit about it. Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania on the Mike Malloy Show. Percy Faith. It's the Mike Malloy Show. It's our last couple of minutes here, our last bits of Valentine love for this evening. Ray Hanania, Mr. Love. That's why I always think of you, Ray, as Mr. Love.
I want to say that the listeners of Mike Malloy's program gave me a bundle of love in the last hour and a half. I'm looking at the site statistics on Hanania.com, and over 1,700 hits. In the past hour.
Yeah, well, you see there, the Mike Malloy gang, they're out there.
Amazing.
They do good. So, yeah, well, they love truth. They love truth.
And back to our topic about love, I mean, I think another aspect about a successful relationship, I think, is humor.
Sure.
I think having a good sense of humor really keeps a relationship together. That's why you and I have been friends for so long.
Well, that's true. It's true, and I certainly, you know, and
we don't talk that.
Nor is it to say that anything would be wrong if we were. It would be perfectly fine. And I would say that, Ray, if I were really going to have an affair, if I were going to have an affair, if I were going to have an affair with a Palestinian Christian man, I would say
excessively moderate Palestinian Christian man.
If I was going to do that, you would be absolutely high on my list.
Who is a journalist?
You'd be very high on my list. You'd be very high on my list.
Let's go through all the adjectives. Syndicated columnist.
Pin
it down.
But now, you know what I have actually. I think that I've actually learned from my marriage. It's my third one, and I've learned. And here's what I've learned.
Yes.
That the whole game is to find the right one.
You're right.
Find the right one because I have, and I would really further say that in my case, I would not have believed that the marriage I currently have was possible to have. Because, you know, my wife and I, as you know, Sharon and I are mind-numbingly happy, overwhelmingly happy.
I could see that when you guys were in the Middle East.
That's true.
She was really into what you were talking about. You were into what she was talking about. And, you know, you realize right away, you can see couples all the time. Some of them don't communicate. You guys are right on the same page.
Well, we violate the prime directive about giving each other lots of space. Because the truth is, we spend so much time together. Like, for example, the time that I spend here in this studio doing this is a really rare, an amazing, an incredible amount of time away from Sharon. Sharon and I normally just spend huge amounts of time together. I mean, it's nothing for us to spend 24
hours. Well, when I talk about giving people space, I don't mean that you're not close. I mean,
I understand. But
yeah,
when someone
wants to do something, you don't get in the way and stop them.
And look,
go ahead, enjoy yourself, come back.
But of course, you know, all people are different and all couples are different. And you can have incredible. My parents absolutely did not spend tremendous. They had a very successful marriage. But, you know, they both worked. My dad worked two jobs. My mother worked two jobs. They were out there gone. So they were just gone all the time. And so they didn't. But now, by the way, to get before we leave here, you know a little bit about arranged marriages, too, right?
I was just going to say my mom and dad were an arranged marriage. My dad went back home and picked the bride. Who was 30 years younger than him from Bethlehem.
Wow.
And, you know, they had a great marriage.
Now, were they in love? Could you tell? Did you know?
You know what? It was, my dad was a tough guy. When he was mad at me, I knew it. the corporal punishment was like, you know, I mean, it wasn't like he beat me, but if I did something wrong, you know, he made me feel the pain. But I think, you know, aside from that, I think that they got along great. And, you know, they were obviously a cultural, you know, transplant in a new society. So it kind of brought them together, I think. Plus, it helped that my mom didn't speak English for the first 15 years of her. No, I'm just joking.
No.
Now, my wife, you know, is Jewish and I'm Palestinian. And I'll tell you what, people think that's nuts, but we have a perfect relationship. I mean, we get along great. It's amazing.
Well, that's good. Then you just you obey.
I don't cross the green line.
Yeah, it is. If you can find a way to find somebody that you really love and find a way to, you know, to express that love and sustain that love, you are just one lucky puppy. And certainly I am. I'm very, very grateful. And it does get easier it gets easier to be in love after you're older. Because when you're young, you know, love is mostly the zeal of the organs for each other.
Right, right. And then as you get older, it's like, oh, what? What is that three-letter word? Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Well, you know, okay, but then, you know, then you sometimes you need that six-letter word, Viagra, when you get really old. But it's a grand thing. We love love, and love is a wonderful
thing.
Now,
did you get your wife a card and candy, or what did you give her for Valentine's Day?
Well, a big...
A trip to Phoenix.
A trip to Phoenix and a big radio Valentine. I throw a big, gigantic radio kiss, honey. Mwah!
All right. I was in Florida in Jacksonville doing a show down there for some Christian singles. You know, these Arab Christian singles, and... I brought my wife back a dancing devil doll that sings the disco song Hot Stuff.
There you go.
And dances around and flaps its wings.
And I'll bet you that you get lots of satisfaction from your beautiful wife. is Ray Hanania.
He's gorgeous.
Ray Hanania and Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy program. Thank you so much, Truth Seekers. I want to thank Ian Huff for his wonderful, wonderful musical selections. And Ian Huff is our engineer who does great things and pleases my wife so much. So we'll be back for one more show tomorrow on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Hope we see you then. And until then, hope your evening is filled with love, love, and some more love.